Welcome to A Cult of Personality, Esoteric Podcast Extraordinaire. I'm your host, Greg Kaminsky, and you can find the website at occultofpersonality.net, which features an extensive archive of recorded interviews. This is episode 160, featuring an interview with artist Natan Alexander, discussing the magical art of tattoo and much more. A Cult of Personality podcast is made possible by you, the listeners, and by the subscribers to the A Cult of Personality membership section. This episode is also made possible by additional donations from Steve and Lance via the donate button at occultofpersonality.net, and by Craig, who supports the show via the A Cult of Personality Patreon campaign, available at patreon.com/occultofpersonality or the Patreon button on the side of the website. I'd like to remind you that although you're able to listen to this podcast at no charge, the costs for me to bring it to you are significant. If you're willing, consider supporting A Cult of Personality by joining the membership section or donating via the donate button on the occultofpersonality.net website or via Patreon at patreon.com/occultofpersonality. If you find these interviews interesting, informative, inspiring, and thought-provoking, please help me to continue bringing you this free podcast. And if you're already supporting the show or have done so in the past, my heartfelt thanks, and I salute you. Temple of Thelema is a true outer order of the greater mysteries, providing ceremonial initiation, structured training, and regular group work, all in conformity with the principles of the Book of the Law. An investment of time, effort, and commitment is expected from each member. Each is expected to aspire fervently to the great work, to dare with courage undaunted, to perfect that work, and ever to apply his or her best effort to effect harmony within the order and within the world in general. Founded in service to the AA, College of Thelema seeks to guide the student to an understanding of the Law of Thelema. Most especially, this means a deeper understanding of oneself and of one's true will. A combination of instruction techniques is employed, including seminars, written texts, and individual work. For over 40 years, College of Thelema has published journals in The Continuum and Black Pearl, as well as several books on occult subjects, maintaining high standards in Thelemic education. Visit Temple of Thelema at www.thelema.org. A Cult of Personality podcast is also sponsored by Miskatonic Books, an online store that focuses on the esoteric, occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, witchcraft, the Golden Dawn, as well as dark fantasy, classic horror, and supernatural fiction. They carry books by all your favorite esoteric publishers as well. Just visit miskatonicbooks.com. Now, in episode number 160, an interview with artist Natan Alexander about the magical art of tattoo and much more. Natan Alexander is an award-winning tattoo artist, an officer of the Ordo Templi Orientis at Knights Templar Oasis in Salem, Massachusetts, and an occult artist working in various mediums in addition to tattooing. He owns and works out of Witch City, Inc., Salem's finest tattoo studio, and Lightwave Tattoos in Saugus, Massachusetts. Once a year, Natan also organizes the Boston Tattoo Convention, the largest international tattoo event in the New England area, now in its 15th year. Thelema and magic have been a huge shaping force in Natan's development, both as an individual and as an artist. As a master mason for over a decade and a member of the AA, he brings an initiate's understanding of the symbolism and inner meanings behind the art he creates. Natan is a regular and devoted world traveler, researching the origins and energies of the cultures and ideas that inspire his art. I've known Natan personally for several years now and consider him a friend and brother. His artwork is truly magical and has the power to transform. Creative, talented, well-spoken, well-traveled, and with years of magical practice under his belt, Natan's success is built upon a solid foundation. I think you'll enjoy this interview as much as I did, and don't miss the second half of the interview in the membership section. Natan Alexander, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for sitting down with us this evening.
It's my pleasure.
So I want to begin by talking a little bit about your personal background for people who don't know you or your work. Could you talk a little bit about who you are, your interests in art and esotericism, and we can go from there?
Sure. My name is Natan Alexander. I've been tattooing for 23 years, and I've been interested in art and magic since I was a child. I grew up in a conservative religious household. I was a Jehovah's Witness child, a single parent who worked very much, and I was a sick child. I had chronic pneumonia and asthma. And as a result of growing up with multiple hospitalizations, coupled with an intense religious overtones to the kind of parenting and environment I grew up in, I was close to kind of other worlds a lot of the time. It was a world of imagination. It was a world of the unknown, and death and the unknown were there and present, as was just being inside my mind a lot. Because we were very poor, I grew up mostly in the woods. Because we were Jehovah's Witnesses, I grew up alienated somewhat from the culture and pastimes and the sort of things that ordinary children celebrate, Christmas, birthdays, etc. So mine was a world of books, books and nature, and just a kind of imaginary world I inhabited. I grew up somewhat sheltered from the outside world because of that, but with a very rich internal world.
It seems like for a lot of people, those type of experiences tend to drive them deep inside themselves, and they discover things about themselves and the world that, other people just never have an opportunity to, especially when it happens as a child, I think.
Mm. You know, there's been a lot written about the connection between tattooing and shamanism. I've always seen shamanism as fundamentally animism, you know, and this belief that there's a spirit and an essence in everything surrounding us. For me, that started at a very young age, just making connections with these things, mm-hmm. you know, being in the woods and connecting with the spirit of a tree I'd be leaning against while reading a book, or feeling things speaking to me. And given the religious background I had, it was, for me, somewhat frightening, because I felt like spirits were talking to me. And there was only one way that was supposed to work. In the worldview that I was taught, that was Satan and the demons attempting to steer me down the wrong path. Let's just put it that way. Steal my soul, whatever you want to call it. But from a very early age, I had this kind of connection going on. you know, with spirits. Before I knew how to give them names or enter into real conversations with them, they were already a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I began to be a little bolder with the sort of books I would read at the library. Because the library was also a place where I was allowed to go, but it was also a place where I could read literature and delve into ideas outside of the very narrow framework that I was being raised in, you know, that of Jehovah's Witnesses. So a little more about my background as a tattoo artist. I began to tattoo when I moved to Holland in my early 20s. And my first contact with tattooing was basically like a band of gypsies. They would travel to India and they would tattoo when the weather got bad through the wintertime in Holland. They'd be over in Goa.
Right.
And then in the summertime, they'd come back and tattoo in Amsterdam. And I became fascinated with this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I was already very much, you know, by my early 20s, I was already steeped in reading occult literature. I'd left home at 16 mm-hmm. in a kind of personal cataclysm of deciding, no, I am not going to be a part of your life, a part of your religion. I didn't speak to either of my parents for a very long time. And I was already on a journey of power. You know, when I saw tattooing, I realized that this was a place where all my interests were converging. My interest in spirituality, my interest in art, mm-hmm. my interest in anthropology, my curiosity about people, my undying love of symbols, they were all kind of connecting in this place, you know, what tattooing seemed to be. And it was a forbidden world. You know, in the early 90s, it was not the mass spectacle that you see now.
Yeah.
It was much more of a closed secret society.
Yeah.
So I got my start tattooing friends, hanging out in shops in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. getting to know a few pretty well-known tattooers, getting to know a lot of not so well-known tattooers, and drawing a lot there. Mm-hmm. I came back to Massachusetts and I helped re-legalize tattooing here in Mass. By starting a website called the Mass Ink Link, by creating fundraisers and drives to be able to fund these bills that we were trying to get passed. And eventually, thanks to the ACLU, we actually did withdraw or repeal the ban on tattooing in Massachusetts. So that was a historic thing. It had been banned here since 1967. Right. Mm-hmm. And it finally got overturned in 2000. So right upon that overturning of the old ban, I opened my first shop and started preparing to make the first convention happen.
Right. So tattooing became legal directly as a result of some of your efforts. And then you opened your shops and now you have some of the most successful tattoo shops in the state and probably the country.
Yeah, I think that there are all kinds of different metrics by which to judge success. Certainly there are bigger shops. I would say that for me, I've been able to take my interests in art and magic and find a place to apply those. Mm-hmm. A place that's given me the chance to live the life that I wanted to live, to travel, to collect the books I want to collect, and to connect with people in a meaningful way. Tattooing itself has become this wildfire,
yeah,
culturally, all over the world. And it has caught fire because it's a way that people can become successful artists without having to die first.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So lots of people with incredible talent flooded into this.
Yeah.
And it is not what it was 20 years ago, you know. And I'm a product of both, I think. I've been drawing and making art since I was small. But I also got into tattooing because of the life of tattooing. Because of the vocation, the calling of it, mm-hmm. the desire to connect with people, to unite them with a symbol forever, to explore that together, to forge a relationship. And for me, that is my personal benchmark of success. My interest in magic, I believe, is what's fueled my ability to be, more than anything else, to be successful as a tattoo artist, because people sense that there's something maybe a little bit more going on. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain type of person who's called to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a type of person who wants to have an experience through their tattoo, to do something really powerful and meaningful with it, to invest it with a kind of energy that only doing that with intention can do.
Right. For sure. Now, your shops, Witch City Ink and Light Waves, is that right?
Yes.
Now, Witch City Ink is in Salem.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe you could just differentiate the two for people who don't know them.
Sure. Well, Witch City Ink is here in Salem, right down the street from where I live. And it is set up specifically for magical tattooing. And my station is set up in such a way that people are stepping inside a working magical circle. There are elemental altars in each of the quarters, and there is magical propaganda, if you will, all over the place. There's the Benbeen Tablet of Isis. There's the Tree of Life with the tarot attributions. There's the Book of the Law. There's all kinds of different sort of like energy kind of signals in there for people that are ready to pick up on that.
Right.
And that in and of itself creates a certain type of atmosphere for people who are ready to go there. That coupled with the energetic work that we're doing, the way that we are going deep into the types of conversation that we're having for people who are ready. My other shop in Saugus is, my station is set up in a similar fashion, although I mostly tattoo here in Salem. I'm working towards just working in one public studio and then working privately, which is really what I want to move into doing more and more of, where there is no external stuff going on. So you're able to just really focus in and connect with the client more.
Yeah, that's nice. Of all the things you mentioned, I think a lot of it touches on this idea of like liminal spaces existing in those kind of spaces in between on the margins. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's been important to you and continues to be in a lot of ways. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Or
liminal spaces or borders, you know, in a certain sense, skin is one of those ultimate thresholds.
Yeah.
It's the border between what's within and what's without,
yep.
You know. And what we're doing in a tattoo is we're actually penetrating that, you know, threshold. There is something from without going within us and leaving a mark. You can say that's happening all the time, but this is a physical, tangible, you know, in the flesh experience that's happening. When people walk into a room to be tattooed into a space, they emerge a different person. There's something that leaves with them that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. So that is why the connection between tattoos and magic has been one that was so inextricably bound up together, you know, throughout history for thousands of years. And we're really just beginning to catch on to that now here, you know. But it's that borderland really that people enter into, a bardo, if you will, when they're going into a space and they're agreeing to mark themselves and they're giving over trust, they're putting their bodies and their appearance and their complete and total conception of themselves in a way into the hands of the practitioner, you know, the tattoo artist, shaman, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, you mentioned how some cultures understand the sacredness of the tattoo, and our culture seems like only as it's becoming more popular is it really, is the type of tattooing that you're doing is really, I think, stands out as a maybe a more authentic form of it, at least to me. But do you have any thoughts on why, or, you know, this sort of cultural amnesia about the sacred, the body, and this, all these disconnects we seem to have?
Well, we're living in a society primarily influenced by, of course, the Judeo-Christian paradigm. And the fundamental paradox of that is that we're supposed to feel guilty about our bodies, like there's something wrong with them. They don't belong to us. You know, I believe that we're born with an innate knowing that our bodies are our own. I think that we're born with the understanding that our bodies are a temple. It's why children fearlessly pleasure themselves until someone tells them that's wrong. You know, people don't have hang-ups about their bodies until people tell them there's something wrong. You know, people are sometimes even genderless until people start telling them, you know, you're a man, you're a woman, you're this, you're that. So I think that in our society, we have a lot more stuff that's put on us in that way. And so tattoos became taboo because people weren't supposed to take possession of themselves in that way. And those who do, those who bore that mark, you know, set themselves up as outsiders, people who were outside so-called civilized or polite Christian society, you know. So we have a lot more to catch up to in terms of our relationship to our bodies and in terms of our relationship to our environments. You know, in shamanistic cultures, tattoos were a kind of symbol of covenants between humans and their environment,
right?
You know, they were used to appease spirits. They were used to signify a person's relationship to their environment, you know, and we've come a long way away from that here in having any relationship with our environment. Tattoos can still function in a way as identifiers, you know, marks of affiliation with things, you know, but it's not a part of our society to view it that way. We don't have that respect or honor for the individual's, you know, sovereignty over their body.
Right. Do you find that your point of view in terms of the tattoo as a magical symbol or magical piece of art is more well recognized now than it used to be?
Well, that's a tricky question because I don't claim to know everything that's going on in the tattoo world or the magic world for that matter. I can say that in my own experience, people coming to me seem to have more of an awareness of what they'd like the tattoo to do for them. And that is also in part due to the popularity of tattooing, people starting to understand like what a custom tattoo is. Custom versus like the tradition here in the West of people walking to a store and picking a design off the wall.
Right.
They're far more likely now in today's tattoo environment to come in with the idea of what they want and get that they're working with an artist to create that. So in that sense, their understanding of what magic is, causing change in conformity with will, making something happen, is evolving, you know, because now they're starting to see, rather than picking this up like a commercial product or picking one out of like off of a menu, they're starting to realize they're going to work with another person and create something that wasn't there before, you know. Many are, not all.
Yeah.
But I would say that there's more written on the subject now. There's more information than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who are looking to have that experience, they have a higher probability of finding it than they did before. I certainly have been able to find enough people who want to be marked in this way, or at least understand the possibility of tattooing in my own practice. And I see, based on things that I see happening in the tattoo world and the popularity of certain types of designs, I think that more people are becoming aware of tattoos as sacred marks, as symbols of the divine, as even as a kind of magical technology for people to wear as a way to change their consciousness.
Right. I would agree with that completely. Do you have anything else you want to talk about in terms of the tattoos? Maybe any personal anecdotes or like that?
There's so much to say about tattooing. It could be a whole series, but yeah. I think that right now in the contemporary world of tattooing, there are art movements occurring. I think that tattooing is far from being over as a vibrant kind of art movement. I feel like it's just going to continue to grow with new advances in artistic ability, daring, you know, things that haven't been done before with tattooing. And I think that's really important for people to take their time and figure out what they want to express in their relationship to themselves and to others through their tattooing. You know, to spend more time, if people spend more time trying to come up with really original, personally relevant tattoos, you know, and to treat it as a sacred thing. You know, and if more tattooers are able to become conscious of the fact that the station that they are occupying, the role that they're playing, is actually that of a shaman. Mm-hmm. It's actually that of a magician. You know, what I'm hoping to do through the work that I'm creating and through things that I'm writing and the spaces I'm setting up and the atmospheres that I'm creating and the artists that I'm encouraging, I'm hoping to create more consciousness of that, of the fact that tattoos are a form of magic. And there are many ways that that can be used for both the artist and the collector. You know, I'm hoping that more consciousness of that will emerge as a result of this, you know, and bring us kind of further into the future by going way further back.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what you're talking about is people kind of understand it. When like you say this, I'm sure people are like, oh yeah, this makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if there's some areas for exploration of this, and maybe you've done this kind of thing on your own or know people who have, but really approaching the magical tattoo as a real magical working, where, you know, you're trying to get reproducible results and documenting everything. And I guess it goes beyond just body art at that point. But
there are some things that are tattooed specifically for reasons of affiliation, of aligning yourself with a current, you know, of bringing and inviting an energy to dwell in yourself. There are some things that are tattooed to specifically share the world with the world, a piece about yourself that you want to reveal. You know, both of those things have powerful magical repercussions. And even though tattoos are becoming much more commonplace, there's an element in the storytelling of a tattoo that's almost like a performance, you know, in the sense that when people are sharing what their tattoos are about, number one, they're willing to reveal something about who they are to people. And number two, they're invited to re-examine what that is, what that means to them, what the tattoo is about. And in that sense, the ritual becomes reenacted. People are able to identify, you know, religate, if you will, you know, to connect again with those energies. And it's there in your skin. So it's also a daily reminder of what you stand for, what you believe in, what's important to you. When I tattooed the winged hourglass with a scythe on my left arm, I wanted to be reminded on a daily basis that life is precious and short. I never want to let go of that. I wanted to be able to say to myself at the end of each day, did I live this day as if it were my last? Easier said than done,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When I tattooed this alchemical sigil for the changing of lead into gold, I put it on my arm to remind myself again of just how everyone is imperfect and how my greatest aspiration was to change those imperfections, to refine them, to go through that alchemical process of pulling out the best parts of myself and putting that forward into the world, you know. The tattoos on my right arm are all about what I try to project out into the world, you know. So the Dharma wheel on my left wrist is a reminder of that. Of not everything that we do is going to feel like it has an immediate, you know, gratifying result. But little by little, like, you know, the effect of water on stone over millions of years, you know, it's more like that. It's an inevitable process, you know. And the banishing dagger running down my forearm is about, this is what I'm projecting. I'm going to dispel negativity. I'm going to push it away. This is a, you know, a diamond hammer, you know, a purba. And this is used in Tibetan rituals. The eye on my wrist is about being able to see with my hands, to be able to feel what should be there. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the design's actually under the skin already and I'm trying to pull it forth.
Nice. You know?
So these pieces that I have like within immediate like view are for me kind of like the prayers that I try to keep in mind every day. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people getting tattooed by me or in my shops at least to try to imagine tattooing to be something like that. Try to figure out, what do you want to think about every day? You know? So if anything, I would say like, I'm hoping to increase consciousness of tattooing as a magical vehicle in that way. In the same way that I've used it for myself and transformed my own body, I try to share that with people, both tattooers and collectors.
So do you see it kind of also as analogous to initiation in that sense?
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. Getting a tattoo is precisely like an initiation, especially for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, people, it has all the elements of a magical ritual. Mm-hmm. People are going into a space for an agreed upon purpose, and they're giving over part of themselves to this thing that they might not really know how it's going to turn out.
Right.
And they're investing trust and belief, and then they're going into an altered state of consciousness.
And removing their clothes.
Yeah, exposing themselves, yeah. Baring their skin, allowing their skin to be penetrated. Yeah. And also, a lot can be said about the physiological connection with pain, you know?
Yeah.
In a piece of writing that I've been working on, I talk about the elemental kind of, the elemental weapons, if you will, almost like a ceremonial magic kind of altar. When you look at a tattoo setup, you have all of the same kind of tools,
right,
set up before you. And all of the elements are involved, you know. The fire is the pain. It's the intensity of feeling, you know. It's also the spark, the electricity, you know. The air is the breathing, because you must become conscious of not only your own breath when you're holding a tattoo machine, but very much the breathing of your canvas, your client, your subject, whatever you want to call them. You have to be aware of how they're breathing, because you have to have perfect hand and eye, steady hand and eye connection. And you have to be aware of how they're breathing so that you can time your strokes so that they're as perfect as possible. You know, the water element is the fluid, right? It is the ink that's going into the skin. It's also the blood that's coming out. So fluid is passing through this membrane. You know, the ink is going in and the blood is coming out. Hopefully not that much. But there is that element through which the substance of the design is transmitted.
Yeah.
You know, earth is the flesh. It's the skin. It's the iron in the pigment. It's the steel in the needles,
right,
that are going in and out of the skin thousands and thousands of times, you know, and the spirit is the intention, you know, it's the animating force. It's the reason, it's the purpose for being there together. And it's also what you're imbuing in the design, which is this kind of commingling of the intention of both the collector and the artist, you know. And all of these energies are swirling around in this process of tattooing and becoming intensified as the process continues, you know. And as you go deeper into the process, there are physiological curves through which the body begins to release powerful endorphins, you know, things that we normally hold on to for fight or flight, you know, like when you're being chased by a bear or about to be mugged. These are things that our body doesn't ordinarily release. And in that sense, you are in an altered state of consciousness, and you are taking a person into an altered state of consciousness through this ritual. So these are some of the things that I'm thinking about and writing about and mindful of in discussing tattoos as a form of magic. You know, in this piece of writing I'm working on, I get into a lot more detail and a lot more into praxis, you know, of how is intention set, you know, what kind of visualization, you know, what are the stages, you know, all of these kind of things are things that a mindful magician will be thinking of before preparing any ritual. And so if we can start to share with more tattoo artists this idea that, like, this is what they're really doing, I think that we can elevate the magical repercussions of tattooing to an even higher degree. The artistic side is already at an incredible, incredible height.
Right, right.
You know, but I think that there is tremendous potential for people to be making huge changes in their lives for the better through conscious tattooing and through participating this as a kind of initiation, as a kind of magical ceremony. I think that the potential for people liberating themselves of negative complexes, you know, of unhealthy self-image things that have been put into them, of being able to take back possession of their own bodies and will, it's tremendous.
You're also beyond just tattooing an artist in other mediums. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that, because you've also brought your interest in the esoteric into that realm as well, with pretty impressive results.
I've been, as a tattoo artist, I've been delving into a great many different cultures and sets of symbols, and a craftsman should know his symbols and know what things mean and know how things go together, in the same way that a magician should be familiar with the symbolic system that he's working within, she's working within, the person. It's important to understand the world in which you're choosing to inhabit. So my art outside of tattooing has been quite a bit fascinated with this idea of the way that we make maps, the way that we create cosmic space, whether that's through an extended exploration of the Tree of Life, or meditations on various archetypes of the tarot, connection with different spiritual entities that have at different times made themselves manifest in my life, all these things, or even just exploring different ideas of the way in which ancient ideas and new ideas kind of meet, you know. So one of the things that I do is I make a painting, and then I etch a panel of glass, and the glass will be like an illustration that overlays over the painting, and then lights are applied to the edge of the glass, and it creates a kind of depth and an effect where you're seeing the painting through this glowing set of symbols. Mm-hmm. And it's very much a process that I'm still evolving, but one that I find really fascinating. It's a technique I learned while working in a stained glass studio in Boston. And I was doing a lot of different etched glass windows for various commercial and, you know, private residences. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to be able to do those just for the sake of making art. Yeah. So in recent years, I've been able to play around with that and do that sort of thing. Many years ago, I was a lot more involved with making music. I was involved with kind of doing experimental music. I used to DJ and have a radio show for a record label called Stahlplaat in Holland, where I got exposed to a lot of really interesting experimental music. And existing in a field of, whether it be a field of sound or a field of glowing symbols, or within a 4-inch square of living, breathing canvas, you know, there have been more moments than I can recall in my life. In fact, I've spent probably, other than sleeping, the majority of my life in spaces like that. You know, especially as an adult, I've been tattooing for a few decades now. And I spend so much of my weekly time in this space of making, just making art, that it becomes an extended meditation. Mm-hmm. So the artwork I make outside of tattooing is laborious. It's, you know, it takes a long time to make one of these pieces, but the act of creating it is an extended meditation. You know, and that to me is almost as important as the end result. Because I'm a successful artist in tattooing, I'm not out there playing the game of attempting to get gallery shows and, you know, and the networking. And I should probably do more of that. But it's, for me, it's been a kind of thing that I've been doing for myself, you know, and I'll probably continue to do. And I do enjoy showing them in so much as they prompt conversations, you know, and because of the way that I'm doing it technically, I'm able to kind of push and pull and hide symbols in these pieces. And then people will come to me and they'll say, I see this or that, you know, like the piece about Ararita, you know, there is a big glowing Sri Yantra. And then in the painting behind the Sri Yantra is a couple in a Yab-Yum position, and their hands are forming a kind of Ouroboros form, or actually more like a Mobius strip around each other. Mm-hmm. While they're in this Yab-Yum position, their legs are conjoined in a way that forms a universal hexagram. And the symbolism of the star, the star sapphire ritual, the Hebrew around that, and all of that for people coming from a Thelemic background is all there as well. Mm-hmm. So for me, that is a way of taking several different traditions and combining them in a way of saying, like, this piece is about this tantric sex. It's about sexual magic, but this allows me to express it across a number of levels in one piece. So I'm currently working on a series with my partner, Kaelinor Seiner, that's called The Luminaries, and it's about the quarters. And Kay is making paintings. There's one behind you there for the angels or spirits of each of the quarters. And then I am making the illuminated glass piece. If you look over there on the wall, is the rough outline of how that will look. And I know you've seen them illuminated before, so
that's beautiful.
Playing around with this idea of like how to push and pull this, you know. So I'm excited about that as an installation piece outside of the tattooing. And I am, I'm looking forward to getting back into my studio that way and working on a number of other pieces that I started a while ago, and getting back on track with that. So in the spring, you should see more of that coming out.
Yeah, these are beautiful. I'm really excited to see these combination of the two. Gorgeous. I saw some of the other ones on Facebook. They were awesome. Yeah, I don't, I've never seen this technique used before, and certainly not the way you've done it with the symbolism and the designs and the geometry. I think it's unique. I mean, I'm not an art person. I'm more of an esoteric person, but the symbolism is really strong, and the imagery is beautiful. The glass is like very precise. The colors like jump out at you because the painting and then the lights and the way the etched glass, the reflection. I mean, it's really, really great effect. So.
Thank you. I'm working hard to create more time in my life to be able to make more art like that. Yeah. I had a realization 5 or 6 years ago that most of my body of work would die when the body wearing it died.
Right.
And other than like digital, you know, images of the tattoos, that work would be gone. And I wanted to create some work that would endure. And so I started getting busy thinking about that and wanting to make something fairly unique with my own peculiar background, you know, from tattoo and a lifelong interest in study of ceremonial magic and esoteric subjects. And I thought, how can I combine all this, you know, into something that I haven't seen anybody do? So I don't think that anyone else is currently doing this, but I would only be excited to see more of that sort of thing. I'm hoping to expand what I know works and grow that into some other even more exciting pieces using multiple layers of glass, being able to push and pull, you know, and let the viewer kind of like gradually go deeper into, you know, these kind of pieces.
I'd love to see more of it, like you said, but I do think it's unique.
I'm very taken by this idea of talismanic art. It doesn't have to be something that's so fancy and involved. I mean, I'm in awe of some very simple illustrations, you know, and of course, painting for thousands and thousands of years, you know, depending on the prowess of the artist, you know, I simply am fascinated with these kind of like worlds that we create. And I have so much that I want to include in these pieces when I start going into a subject that I actually have to really rein it in, you know, so that it doesn't become just ridiculously over complex, you know. That in and of itself, making something so complex is also a process of meditation. As anyone who studied Kabbalah will tell you, you know, it's a way to kind of, it's the excitatory method to overwhelm the mind, you know, but the ability of art to cause a change in the viewer is also something that I've considered greatly recently as part of my magical practice. And together with my partner, we were looking for some way of expressing this, and we came up with just this simple kind of saying, art is magic, you know, creating something where there was nothing before is the simplest, fastest way to think about like what art does. But it's more than that, because art is transformative. Art can influence millions and millions of people. If you think about the way a painting or a poem, Alan Moore's written a lot about the power of the written word.
Right.
You know, it's no coincidence that spell, to cast a spell, is related to literature and writing, right? And art in that way, even if you couldn't read, you know, art can still have a powerful influence. You know, totems and sigils, and specifically even art that is created that we don't completely know the meaning of consciously, but affects us on a powerful unconscious level. We don't quite know why.
Yeah.
These are things that really fascinate me, you know. So art being the vessel for magic is something that is paramount in my mind.
It makes total sense. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the whole idea of the word being the mediator between heaven and earth and art in just the same way. Do you have any final thoughts or things you'd like to say to people listening?
Well, first, thanks for having this this program. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it, for being a friend, for being here in Salem and contributing to all that we're creating in, you know, esoteric culture here in our neck of the woods and abroad. I'd like to encourage more people to develop their own practice and share it, whether that is an artistic practice, whether that is getting magical tattoos and sharing them with the world. I'd like to encourage people to make more art and to pay less attention to what is going on in the outside world and more to what's going on in the inside world.
Thank you, Natan. A really pleasure to speak with you. It's an honor. I feel grateful to call you my friend. And it's really been a great time talking with you this evening. So thanks again.
My pleasure.
93.
In the Occult of Personality membership section, artist Natan Alexander discusses his near lifelong interest in Thelema and magic, the Star and Snake artist residency and retreat space, altered states of consciousness, advice on achieving success in magic and in life, and much, much more. Don't miss that compelling conversation. Just go to occultofpersonality.net/membership and sign up if you haven't already. It's the best way to support this podcast while receiving access to a tremendous amount of additional exclusive content. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.
sweetness of your inside.